Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 13, verses 18 to 30. John chapter 13, verses 18 to 30. Now the subject of this message will be the traitor, the traitor. John chapter 13, let's begin reading with verse 18. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop, when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out. And it was night. It was night. Now, this particular passage of Scripture here deals with the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously. And it is the foretelling of it, the actual betrayal. Some of it took place beforehand. Some of it took place after this particular event. But this was the time at which Jesus Christ made it known, at least to somebody at the table, who it was that was going to betray him. Now, in order to get all of this down, what we need to do is we need to go ahead and, again, searching the Gospels, deal with the parallel passages, and then we can find out everything that took place here, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have something to say about this event. And actually, the first part of what takes place in the betrayal took place before this, a day or two, maybe three, leading up to this event this night. And it took place in Luke chapter 22. Now, if you'll go back over to Luke chapter 22 and look at verse 3, you'll see the very first thing that happened regarding this betrayal. In Luke 22:3, the Bible says, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised, and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Now see, this has been the problem of the Pharisees and the chief priests and the rulers and the elders. They didn't know how to get Jesus Christ. They had met, they knew they wanted to destroy him. That had been determined. They knew they would have to get false witnesses and try to get up a trial. They knew that. But the biggest problem was the crowd was for Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, the Pharisees could not find officers who were willing to take Jesus Christ because they were concerned about the mob. And the mob was certainly for Jesus Christ. The triumphal entry had already been made. These Pharisees were furious now because Jesus Christ had flipped over the tables and so forth in the temple. And they wanted him, but they didn't want him in with the multitude, and they weren't sure where they could find him when he wasn't publicly exposed. Now, Judas Iscariot knew where he'd be and knew the place of the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll see that later. And so he was the one that covenanted and turned out for 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord Jesus Christ to the Pharisees and to the chief priests and captains. So that deal had been made at least a couple of nights before this meeting here. Now we go to John chapter 13, verse 18, and we find the very first thing that happens. The night, then, of the betrayal. Jesus said, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." So one of the things that had to take place in the prophetic events of the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ is that one of his disciples was going to have to be the betrayer. And Jesus knew that long before this night. As a matter of fact, when he had fed the 5,000 the next day, he entered into a discourse with them that really caused them concern. It was about him being the bread of life and about their need to eat his bread, eat his body, and drink his blood. Remember all that back in John chapter 6? And that really offended a lot of the disciples. Many of them left that day. He asked Peter if he was going to leave, but Peter wasn't going to leave. He said, "Where should we go? To whom should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And then Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 70 and 71, Jesus said this, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, isn't that something? Even as far back as the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus Christ announced to the disciples, I'm sure they didn't even remember it, considering everything else they'd heard that day, that one of the 12 was a devil, and that he didn't explain what it was about, but we know, according to John, that he spake of Judas Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. But all he could say is, "I have chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." Now, that kind of was a little bit of a shock, but they didn't worry it out too much. Now, he needed that devil among his 12 because there was a scripture that was in Psalm 41, verse 9, that needed to be fulfilled. Psalm 41, verse 9. You know, if a man set about to fulfill all the scripture that Jesus Christ fulfilled and had made up his mind that he knew the Bible well enough to know which scriptures to fulfill, he wouldn't have been able to do it. This was a divine thing. It just proves over and over again that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. It's insane that people would say otherwise. The likelihood that one man could fulfill all the prophecies concerning the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, including his death, burial, and resurrection, the likelihood of that being fulfilled in one man's lifetime, less, probability is less, than a man being able to pull a red molecule out of the universe if every molecule were painted white and that man were blind and he had one chance to pull. He would have an easier time finding that red molecule than being one man fulfilling all of these prophecies. And you say Jesus Christ is not God? That's insanity. Psalm 41, verse 9, is the verse that is fulfilled. Psalm 41, verse 9 says, "Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." And he did trust him. I mean, he gave him the bag. He was the treasurer. He had all of the money for the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ. He also gave him all the gifts to go around and heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead and cast out devils and all that stuff. So he put a great deal of trust into the man. Now, the next thing that happened is John chapter 13, verse 19. Jesus said this, "Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. You know, Jesus Christ, particularly in John's gospel, over and over again, did things to prove that he was exactly who he said he was. In other words, he did works, and he said, these works testify of me, that I am sent from God. He said aforetime to Nicodemus, he said, now I'm going to have to be lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And he was. He said, now if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto myself, or unto me. And he was. He said, the Father and the Scripture and my works all testify of me. And he kept reminding them of that because he wanted them to believe that I am he. Now, when John records this stuff, notice he is in italics. I am he. In other words, what he said literally was, I am. In other words, he is identifying himself with God Almighty of the Old Testament, the Tetragrammaton, where God Almighty appeared to Moses and said, I am that I am. Tell them, I am hath sent me. And here he says, I am he. And that is, he wanted his disciples to believe it. And you know they needed that type of encouragement to believe it, because even when he rose from the dead and they had heard about the empty tomb and seen the empty tomb and heard the testimony that there were others who had already seen the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead, they didn't believe it. So they needed a lot of help in this category. Now, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to tell you this thing ahead of time, tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. In other words, he prophesied. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 41 and notice something. Isaiah 41 and look at verse 22. God is making a challenge to every soul in the universe in Isaiah 41. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can match him. And that's because Revelation 19:10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The only one who can match God on telling the future is Jesus Christ. Psalm 41, look at verse 22. Now the Lord is making a challenge to everybody in the universe. He says, let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things when they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that thou art gods, or that ye are gods. Yea, do good, or do evil, that we may be dismayed, and behold it together. It's all sarcastic. Behold, you're of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that cheweth as you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun, shall he call upon my name, as Jesus Christ. And he shall come upon princes, as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth the clay. Second advent of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 41:26, who hath declared from the beginning that we may know? Jesus is the only one that could, and God is the only one who could. Before time, that we may say he is righteous. Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. And I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man. Even among them, and there was no counselor that when I ask of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are all nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. Now Jesus Christ told them ahead of time what was fixing to happen, so they would know for sure that he was God manifest in the flesh. I don't have any trouble believing that. I don't know and don't understand why you do, but some do. Then the next thing that happens is in John chapter 13, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He's repeating what he told the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. And all he's basically saying is, this man's going to betray me, and I'm telling you ahead of time, so when it comes to pass, you'll know that I'm he, because I'm not going to be here. When he betrays me, I'm dying, just like I told you guys. He told them a half a dozen times, I'm fixing to be turned over to the Gentiles and crucified. And after that, of course, they're going to have to carry on the ministry following the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he tells them ahead of time, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. In other words, when I send you guys and they receive you, they're receiving me. And when they receive me, they receiveth him that sent me. He's setting up the ministry. And, of course, starting with Acts chapter 2, you see it happening, and it's going on even until this very day. We preach the gospel to lost souls. They get saved. We are fulfilling John chapter 13, verse 20. So let's do a quick review, and then we'll continue. First thing that happened, several nights before this, Judas contracted with the chief priest and captains to sell out Jesus for money. Then the night of the Lord's Supper, Last Supper, he tells them, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Something bad's fixing to happen. But I'm telling you ahead of time so you believe that I am he. And don't worry about what's going to happen when I'm gone. When you preach and they receive what you have to say, they're receiving me. And when they receive me, they're receiving him that sent me. So everything's fine. We've got it all worked out. Next thing, John chapter 13, verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now that matches Matthew 26:21 and Mark 14:18. That's where their gospels pick up now, because that's the same thing that they say. Verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Mark says, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. All right, so he's telling them now, this betrayal that's getting ready to happen, this thing that I've chosen, is coming from among this group. It's coming tonight. It's coming here. One of you shall betray me. Boy, now that created some problems. In John chapter 13, verse 22, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Before they asked any questions, they just started looking at each other like, who in the world could this be? Doubting of whom he spake. In other words, no way. You know, I mean, the first time Peter heard that Jesus Christ said, I'm going to go and be turned over to the Gentiles and die, Peter rebuked him and said, far be it from thee, Lord. And Jesus, of course, had to rebuke Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. It shocked them. Who in the world could do a thing like this? And so right at first, they simply looked one upon another, doubting of whom he spake. And that's John chapter 13, verse 22. Now, we have to depart from John's gospel for a moment because some other things happen. And then we'll come back to John chapter 13 and look at verse 23 because the other gospels record some intervening things here. They began to doubt of whom he spake there in John chapter 13, verse 22. Now we go over to Matthew chapter 26, verse 22 to find out what happened next. Matthew chapter 26, verse 22. We go over there to find out what happened next. And they were exceeding sorrowful, obviously, because they didn't want their Savior to be betrayed, their King to be betrayed. They were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Now, Mark says in Mark 14:19, they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? Actually, there are probably two people that don't ask him, is it I? And you'll see in a minute who those two are. But they began to ask him, one after another, every one of them, is it I, is it I, is it I, is it I? But two of them doesn't look like they got to that question at this point. They'll ask a question, but not right here. So after they began to doubt of whom he spake, and they were kind of eyeing each other trying to figure out who it was from John chapter 13, Matthew 26:22 and Mark 14:19 shows us that they then turned to the Lord and said, who is it, Lord? Is it I? Is it I? The next thing that happens, we have to go over to Luke chapter 22 to find. Luke chapter 22. You know, we'd been there already in Luke chapter 22. This is where we saw the setup. In the first part of the chapter, now we go to the middle part or the latter part of the chapter, Luke 22, verses 21 and 22, and we find out the next thing that happened. Luke 22:21, behold, they say, is it I, is it I? Jesus answered, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. So when he says, behold, one of you shall betray me, it's evident that there must have been other people there that night. But then he limits the group. The hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. It narrows it down to one of the 12. And truly, verse 22 says, the Son of Man goeth, as it is determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. go back to Matthew chapter 26, verse 23, and hear the parallel. He answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." So evidently, those 12 that were at the table with the Lord had a dish in the middle of the table, and they could dip their bread. I don't know if you've ever been to like an Italian restaurant. I think perhaps Olive Garden, a Macaroni Grill, places like that. Bring out a dish of oil and put a little pepper in there, and then they give you bread, and you can dip that in there before your meal and eat that, you know. So they're all dipping into that dish. And he says, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Matthew goes on to say, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." And then he adds this, "It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Mark says the same thing, except now he tells us for sure it's one of the 12. Mark 14:20 says, "And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish." And then he says the same thing, "The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he'd never been born." All right, so now we see how the thing is progressing. You see, these supplemental accounts in the Gospels are not contradictory. They're supplemental. They each give you a little more information. For instance, the first thing they did, according to John, is they began to doubt of whom he spake. Matthew and Mark then show you they're asking the Lord directly, "Is it I?" And then the Lord answers and says, "He that betrayeth me, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Matthew adds, "He dippeth his hand with me in the dish." Mark adds, "It's one of the 12. See? And that way you can narrow it down. These expositors and Bible haters and Bible rejectors and Bible scholars would have you to believe that these things are all contradictory or that they're writing one based upon another. They're not. They each know and tell different things about what they saw concerning the same events. All right, now we go back to Luke chapter 22, verse 23, and we find out the next thing that happened. Luke 22, 23, after he said that, they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing, because the Lord didn't answer them. Now, you see how that all fits together? If only you'd taken Luke or only taken Matthew or Mark, you wouldn't have known the whole deal. It starts out several nights before Judas covenants for money. Then the Lord tells them, this is fulfilling prophecy, and he says, "I'm going to tell you who it is ahead of time so you believe that I'm he." And he says, "Don't worry about what happens when I'm gone. Whoever receives him that I sent receives me, receives him that sent me." And then he says, "What are you going to betray me?" And this, well, who's that going to be? He says, "One of you." As a matter of fact, not only is it one of you, he says, "It's one of you who's got his hand on the table dipping in with me. Here's one of the 12. And so then they began to inquire among themselves, "Who is it, man? Are you the dirty, low-down dog that would betray our Savior and King?" Cause a little trouble. Now watch this. Go back to John. Now we can finally get back to our text. John chapter 13, verse 23. Watch this. "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." If you check the cross references on that, like John chapter 19, verse 26, you're going to find out that's John. He doesn't say, "He asked me." He talks of himself in this in the third person. "There was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." It's John. Verse 24, "Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it?" Now there's the next question. You see, most of them ask at the table, "Lord, is it I?" John was right there on his breast, leaning on his bosom, and he said, "Lord, who is it?" It's a private conversation, because Peter knew if anybody's going to get the answer out of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be John. He's not telling us who it is. We can't decide who it is. We got great doubts about this whole thing anyway. So John turns to him, he said, "Lord, who is it?" And the Lord tells him in verse 26, John chapter 13, verse 26, "Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." A sop is like a morsel of bread. Break it off, dip it in there, and then hand it to somebody. "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." Now that is told privately to John. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So at that moment, John the Apostle is the only one at the table besides the Lord Jesus Christ who knows who it is. And when Jesus Christ handed the sop to Judas Iscariot, then Matthew 26 verse 25 tells us what happened next. Matthew chapter 26 verse 25 tells us what happened next. After Judas received that sop, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said. Thou hast said. So, boy, now we've got a real picture of what was going on here. All that commotion going on like that. Judas Iscariot looks at him and says, Is it I? Now all 12 of them have asked. All of them ask individually, Is it I? Except for probably John and Judas Iscariot. And then John asks, Lord, who is it? And after Judas receives a sop, he says, Is it I? And Jesus said, Thou hast said. Of course, the betrayal had already started. And he'd already warned him. It'd be good for that man if he'd not been born. But Judas had the devil in him now, and he left. Look at verse 27 of John chapter 13. After that, the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now, John might not have known that he was going for the betrayal right then, that night. But he knew he would betray him. Because look at what the next verse says. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Now later on that night, he'll come back with soldiers who have swords and staves to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. So there you have it, the full story on Judas Iscariot, the traitor.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.